Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, October 8, 2009. It is now about 6:33 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Also, I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, my2centsonline.com. But actually, that website, folks, has been changed. It's now Sutton-Associates.com, I believe. But if you go to my2centsonline.com, it will automatically click you over to the Sutton and Associates website. He consolidated them. And that's that two is a numeric two, by the way, to my2centsonline.com. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues, how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on our subscribe icon. And by the way, we have a little map there. If you're listening to us, you can go to the map and just click as to where you're listening from. We had someone from Australia the other day click on it. I thought that was kind of cool. Well, good morning, everyone. We are late this morning. I am late. I intended to be early, and I wound up late. And I think we actually started broadcasting about 2 minutes late, didn't we? Yeah, about 2 minutes late. Okay. Well, here we are. We hope you didn't click off or anything like that. Let me take these silly glasses off because I couldn't see what I was doing. And this morning, I really wanted to take a look at basically where are we? You know, where are we as a nation? I truly wish that I could be more optimistic. It is grinding away at me. I'll be very honest with you. It's really, really starting to bother me that I appear to be so negative about so many issues, about the condition of affairs. And I'm starting to think that maybe I am getting myself into developing a tunnel vision. And I'm trying to broaden out my vision so that maybe I can see that there are positives here and there. They're very, very, very tough to find. I'm having a very, very tough time. If someone would call and tell me where I'm wrong and what I'm doing wrong, I would appreciate it because it would be great for me and my mentality at this point. You know, a big problem of what we have today here in the United States is that we have a government that is always at war. Now, don't kid yourself, folks. This is not something that I am saying or a conclusion or a hypothesis or anything like that. We have a government that is always at war. A friend of mine knows someone in the Secret Service. Anyway, knows someone in the Secret Service. Here's the first thing that you learn when we went to school in the Secret Service, and the only thing he can tell you to tell us about it was the fact that they tell you we are always at war. Now, that could be we have armed conflict, but we are always at war. Now, he wouldn't tell us why, and we don't understand that, but we are always at war. And when you look at it, we are always at war. Think about it. We are always at war. And how do we define our history? Well, the Korean conflict, the conflict in Vietnam, you know, and, you know, the it's always a war-based historical period. And why is that? You know, really, please spare me, oh, well, we're trying to make the world safe for democracy, and, you know, if we don't do it, who will? And if we didn't do this, there'd be panic all over the world. All the garbage comes out. See, folks, we are always at war, and when we are always at war, there's a reason for that. And it's not because we're such good people, we're trying to help other people out. I mean, we got to get that out of our heads. That mentality, you know, went away at World War II. That was a World War II mentality. Goodbye. And, you know, when you look at the United States, just physically, and in fact, I have a big map here in my studio, and you see the United States, we are strategically perfectly placed. We're in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, which is a little bit better, you know, commercially, from a commercial point of view, than the Southern Hemisphere. We have a neighbor to our north that's not a threat, Canada, you know. We have a neighbor to our south that's not a threat, Mexico. Now, I know we have illegal immigration. I don't want to go there, but... So there we are, nestled. We have a eastern seaboard and western seaboard. We border the Pacific Ocean and we border the Atlantic Ocean. Now, other than Canada, and by the way, and we have a temperate climate. What other country can say that? I don't think there's any other country in the world that can say that. I mean, Australia, I guess, is on one side is the Pacific Ocean, the other side is the Indian Ocean. I don't think there's any other country who can boast that. And yet, we have an abundance of natural resources that we squander on war. We are isolated from all of the conflicts in Europe, the conflicts in the Middle East, the conflicts in the Southeast, yet we can trade with all these people, and we are the country always at war. Well, the question that I had for my listeners this morning, who do you hate? Think about it. Who do you hate? Now, there may be somebody who did you really wrong in your life, and you said, that guy was a real mean person. Maliciously nearly ruined my life, you know, and I can't get, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I know people like that, and they're in my head, you know, I try to forgive and forget. I'm of the R&R generation from streets of New York. There was no forgive and forget. There was always remember and revenge, the R&R generation. That's where I came from. But yeah, I mean, aside from those isolated instances, and when you think about it, the number of people that we really hate compared to the number of people that we know and dearly love. Think about it. I mean, it's a far cry. There may be one or two that we really just don't like at all. And there are, in our lifetimes that we've met, thousands of people that their relationship we cherish. And yet, you know, we really don't hate anyone. You know, we hate the actions of other people. You know, they did something wrong to us. We don't hate them. And yet, the government spews hate. Look what they're doing with Iran. Think about it. I mean, the Iranians love us. Pat Buchanan did a survey, and he's a pretty good historian. You know, he really is a pretty good historian. And the question was, you know, which nation, peoples, not governments, peoples, you know, in the country loved us the most, you know, admired us the most, wanted to emulate us the most. Now, I don't know how he took this survey, but of all the countries in the world, Iran came out number one. In other words, if we did not saber-rattle with Iran, they would be our closest ally. And they have one of the largest reserves of oil. World's reserves of oil. And yet we're at war with them. Think about that. I don't understand that mentality. We have a peoples that really admire us, want to be like us. They want to be American. And they're not Arabs, they're Persians. So if you have something against Arabs, they're not even Arabs. I mean, if you get a hang-up about Arabs, which you shouldn't, there's no reason to at all. They're Persians. And we hate Persians. They're bad. they're going to attack us. They're going to get a nuclear missile and fire it on it. You know, all the, oh, they're going to do it to Israel. Folks, I saw a, it's on a website, an exact translations of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's speech regarding Israel. He did not say that he wanted to destroy Israel. Now, you can take Persian, the Persian language, and you can interpret it any way you want. He did not say that. Didn't even come close to saying that. But we are a nation always at war. So what do? We create war. That's what we do. We are a war-loving nation. And it sickens me. It sickens me when I see our elected officials saying, you know, the peace-loving the United States, who wants only good for the people around the world, will defend our democracy of this country. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Isn't that horrible? Here we are, strategically placed in the world. Any country in the world would say, if you had just geographically, what location would you want to be in? What country would you want to be? Just geographically. I would venture to say that most countries, if not all, would say exactly where the United States is. It's perfect. It's buffered by Canada. Doesn't get that cold climate. Right? It's buffered by Mexico and the Caribbean for that really hot climate. It has a eastern and western seaboard. And it's isolated from the troubles around the world. And what do? We go out there and we not only get involved in other people's troubles, we create them. Who do you hate? Who do you hate? Think about it. I don't hate the Iranians. You know, could you imagine the Iranians saying, well, you know, the United States is a very, very good country, ally of ours. They've helped us. We trade with them. We travel back and forth to one another. We have a wonderful relationship. So when we get the atomic bomb, you know, a nuclear device, we're going to put on a missile and nuke them. Does that, if that makes any sense, will someone call in and say, Joe, that makes sense to me? It makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. None. And yet, we are preparing to go to war. Now, who do you hate? I don't hate anyone. There are a few people in my life I hated what they did. Really hated what they did. I had a guy ruin my company. Built it up and he ruined it. He took the entire database when I entrusted him with everything and he sold it. He gave the database to another company. And they stole all my clients underneath my nose. Jerk that I was. Trusted the guy. I worked day and night for years to bring it back. And I got them all back. Every one of them. Except for two. I can name the companies. And I got a lot more. I got some of the other guys' companies too. Because he was a bum. I hated what he did. But we basically don't hate people. We hate what they did. And yet, what our government does is makes us want to hate people. The Persians we have to hate, because if we hate, we can go to war with the approval of the American people. Who do you hate? Who do you hate? This drives me nuts. You hear this on TV all the time. About what people are good, what people are, and then we say, our friends in the Middle East, you know, our friends in Saudi Arabia, and yet the Saudi Arabians are the ones that drove the airplanes into the World Trade Center. You know, we got this machine going, this propaganda machine that's formulating our minds, developing our minds to think a certain way, and now we're going to go to war with Iran. Now, the only reason why we would go to war with Iran, not a good reason at all, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should, not at all. I think we should be friends with them. If we went over there, folks, you and I, any one of my listeners, say, hey, come on, let's hop on an airplane, we go to Iran. And let's assume that we didn't go there as American terrorist or military or whatever, you know. And we went over there, we would find the people warm and friendly, accommodating. We would be surprised how well they receive us. Why do we want to kill them? Who do we hate? Who do you hate? I don't hate anybody. And yet, I've got to be made to hate somebody to justify killing millions of innocent people. This subject drives me nuts. You have no idea. It literally drives me. It's going to drive me to the loony house. Folks, well, I only have about 13 minutes left to go on this broadcast. I'm Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our call in number is 646-652-4620. If you're not listening to a live broadcast, please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you have a good point, we'll make a whole radio station broadcast out of it. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Our call number again is 646-652-4620. Thank you. Well, that's it. That was our station identification. How professional are we, huh? You know, at least you don't have to listen to some stupid commercial that makes you hate them, you know. But we don't hate anybody. Our government trains us to hate people. Now, I'm going to give you a guess as to why we want to go to war with Iran. Why did we go to war with Iraq? Well, it was the oil. Yeah, it was the oil. But why? Why did we do it that time? Because Iraq said we are no longer going to accept U.S. dollars for oil. We're going to convert to the euro. We're going to go to petro-euros, not petro-dollars. As soon as Saddam Hussein did that, war drums, boom, 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 and we went to war. What a coincidence. Ahmadinejad said, not accepting U.S. dollars for oil, accepting the basket of currencies like the euro, the ruble. I think it's the ruble they're going to go with. I mean, when they decide on a single currency, I think it's going to be this year or next year. War. Boom, 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 boom. Right? That's exactly what happens. Now, that makes sense to me. You say, well, Joe, you're reaching. You know, you're a conspiracy nut. Yeah, I'm a conspiracy nut. Everything's a conspiracy today. Everything, you know. But that makes sense. Why do we want to war to war? Why? And just think. Look at a map. Look at where. I want every one of my listeners, please look at a map. Get a map of the Persian Gulf. And you'll see Iran. And on either side of Iran, you have Afghanistan and Iraq. And by the way, Iraq and Iran, you know, they had that 11-year war, was it? Whatever it was, they killed all the young people. And we backed Iraq at the time. Remember that? We forget, huh? We never hear about that war. Never hear about it. Because at that time, we were supplying Saddam Hussein with all the guns and equipment, etc., and all the killing devices and all the weapons of mass destruction, you know, to fight Iran. Because, you know, we thought Iran was bad because they had the Shah and all this. They threw out the Shah. The Shah was a bum. We put in the Shah. He was a fake leader. He killed more people than we could ever kill. So people, you know, not too happy with us. And I don't blame them. But we have troops in Afghanistan and we have troops in Iraq surrounding Iran. You think Iran has reason to be concerned? You think Iran would like to have a nuclear weapon as a defensive mechanism to say, don't touch me, I'm nuclear? Wouldn't that make sense? Makes sense to me. If I was them, that's what I would do. And I wouldn't do it because I want to kill everyone and bomb everyone. But we make up stories because we are always at war. We want to be at war. This is how we make our money. Pravda had an article. A friend of mine, he reads the Pravda. I guess the English translation, obviously, of Pravda. Not obviously, because you don't know if he speaks Russian or not, but he gets the English translation. And they said, you know, America is always at war. This is how we have financed our economy for the last decade. Not, I mean, the last century, is that we go to war and we keep industry going because we're at war. And that's very true. If, in fact, we decided to come back from, to withdraw our troops from Iraq and Afghanistan and close the 800 military bases, stealth bases, all that garbage around the world, our economy would collapse. We would be a third world nation in a New York minute. Think about that. It's because of what we are keeps our economy going. It's because we are a wartime always at war country who propagates hate, hate, hate to its people constantly on television. Constantly. We hate, hate, hate because we promote hate and we condition the minds of Americans to hate other people, justifying war with other countries. Keeps our war machine going without guilt. Folks, if that's not a condemnation of a country, nothing is. Absolutely nothing is. Now, is there a possibility I'm wrong? Yeah. What's the probability? About nil. About nil. Isn't that horrible? To think that you live in a nation and your government policy, the government that you vote into office, their objective is to always be at war and kill people, innocent people. By trumping up all of these charges, by getting the stirring the emotions of the American people about fictitious situations. And do you know what's really sorrowful? Is that every war that we went into was based on a lie. World War I was based on a lie. Washington, Woodrow Wilson sent commissaries all over the United States, you know, to trump up the emotions about how we had to go to war if we didn't, it would be the end of the world. There was no need for us to be there. World War I would have ended the way it ended. World War II is the same way. Believe it or not. The attack in Japan was no surprise, folks. Don't kid yourself. No surprise. Vietnam was a lie. Korea was a lie. It was all trumped up. And current day, Iraq was a lie. Afghanistan is a lie. Folks, we are always at war, being conditioned to hate everyone. You know, we have everything. Look at a map someday. Just set yourself apart. Look at the map. Look at where we're located. If, first of all, we're a small country compared to the rest of the world. Now, we're a big country as an individual country, but we are trying to rule the rest of the world, control the rest of the world militarily. 800 military bases around the world. Why? There's not reason for one. Not one. And we have to because we propagate hate. Who do you hate? This drives me nuts. You know, this absolutely drives me crazy. I have friends who are pretty well-to-do. I mean, not multi-zillionaires or anything, but I mean, they're comfortable. Middle class, upper middle class, if you want to call them that. And they want out of the country. They say they don't like the way our country works. One wants to go to Ecuador for some reason. One wants to go to Costa Rica. One wants to go to Argentina. And you know something? If I had to go somewhere, I'd go see my friend Tom. He's a listener of the station. He sends me emails. He's in Chile. Southern Chile. I want to go to southern Chile. I like that. Look at Chile on the map. It's this little sliver of a nation with the mountain range on one side. I guess it's the Andes up north, and I'm not sure what it's called down south, but it's the Andes Mountain on the east side with the Pacific Ocean on the west side. No one knows they're even there. You can walk to the beach and walk to the mountains. And by the way, they have free public transportation going up and down the entire country almost. Isn't that neat? How come Chile doesn't hate everybody? Chileans, I guess. Why don't they have their troops? You know, I don't think they have an army. I don't think Argentina has an army anymore. They don't even have an army. Yet, we are the biggest military machine in the world. We spend more money on the military than all countries combined. If you took the military budget of all 191 other nations and totaled it, ours is larger. Who do you hate? Who do you hate? It's like I'm a peace-loving person, and everybody I see, I shoot. You know, I mean, you say, well, this guy's a mass killer. You know, he's not a peace-loving, but I'm a peace-loving person because the people that I shoot are really no damn good. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I kill a lot of people because they're not good. Does that make any sense? You know, it almost sounds like these wacko psycho people they lock up who actually think that the people that they've murdered in cold blood, they did either for the good of that person or the good of society. I mean, these guys are psychopaths. Is our government a psychopathic government? Do we have a psychopathic government? Think about it. We have a psychopathic government. Folks, yes, we do. If, in fact, our commitment is to always be at war, who do you hate? Who do you hate? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Rand Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control your every ride and your every move. I ride motorcycles. I love them. I don't want training wheels on my bike, folks. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.